This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is full of His glory. And thank you, Father, that we can become quiet, that we can sing it, that we can shout it out, that we can, what is in our hearts, what's in our lungs, that we can share it, that we're not afraid of it. And thank you that we can come and that we can listen to you, what is on your heart, what you want to share with us today, how you want to speak to your children, what message you've got for us. If it is for the small children or if it's for us, for the adults, Father, it's a message which is loaded because it's the Holy Spirit who's bringing that message. And so I pray a blessing over what's going to happen with the kiddies, that they also will get something home of how awesome and how great and how wonderful you are. And here as adults where we are in the church, that we will also experience your presence, Father. That you want to speak to us, that you've got a message for us. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As the kiddies are leaving now, I really felt that the Lord has been speaking with two people when we were worshiping. So if there's a certain message, if there's a certain picture what you maybe got with the worship, then I'm inviting you to come and share it with us now, which is for the congregation.
I just... As we could celebrate Him and honor Him and worship Him, I just saw a huge plane coming through the clouds from right in front. And I just felt God is saying, are you on this plane? Are you part of? And a plane is often a ministry or your vehicle or your, you are the body of Christ. It can be. What I felt is it was the body of Christ and that God is asking, are you on this plane?
Thank you. Is there anyone else who've got a message or something what you feel that the Holy Spirit has been sharing with you as we worshipped, what you would like to share with the congregation? Okay. We are all on the way to somewhere. Sounds like a title of a book. We're all on the way to somewhere. And then the thing is that the word way has actually got two different, of two ways of explanation. So if I was a good politician, I would have said, there are other ways, but there's only one way. And then you most probably would have said, that's a good politician, because you do not actually know what he's saying now. But if we take a look at the word way, then it's possible. Because if we're saying there are other ways, it means there are other ways of getting to a certain position. And it could be left, it could be right, it could be straight through, it could be delayed, whatever it is. That is one way. It is a type of a road, it's a type of a track. And this is what I've asked the question now as well. We are all on the way to somewhere. We are in the process. But then the way also has got a meaning that if I'm going to take a key and if I'm opening the door, then that's the way to open up the door. That is the way it has got to be done. That is the method, that is the technique, what has got to be used. In English, we've got those two, and we've got it exactly the same in the words which have been used in the Bible as well. So it's sometimes a little bit confusing, if I can put it that way. So if I'm saying there are other ways, but there's only one way, then I'm actually using the same word, but with two different meanings. And in the world, we've got a way that we are moving from a certain position to a certain position. We call it a career. You go to school, you've got a certain idea what you want to become, then you're going to study, you qualify yourself, you go and... Once you've qualified, then you're going to start working, and then you go through that career, through that way, and then you come to a point where you're actually working for, And it is pension. And the word pension is not in the Bible. So sorry. The only way what they're actually talking about it, that people had to stop working, is when God spoke to Moses about the Levites in the tent of meeting. Then the Levites, the priests, were only allowed to work from 25 to 50. And at 50, they had to go home. But they had then to minister the other Levites. So it's not that they were unemployed then, or that they were sitting and drinking coffee the whole day. They were still involved, but they were not involved in, I think, a little bit more physical work. That's what we're doing. So we're working on a way in our life that we're coming to a certain point, that we've got a certain goal where we want to go to. And that can change, because it could be that suddenly your work changes. And then there are other ways of getting to the goal. But you've got a certain goal in front of you. 67, I'm not quite sure where the goalpost are at the moment, and if the government is going to move it again, I'm not quite sure about it. So let's say it's 67 now, and then you can say, okay, now I've worked, now I can drink coffee. And we also sometimes make mistakes if we are in that process in our career, that we make mistakes and that we are then making costly mistakes. It's costing us money. Another thing that we've been using quite often the last few last decade or two maybe is our GPS or the TomTom or the Google Maps or whatever you want to call it. You punch in your destination, you press start, and off you go. And you go from one place to the other place. And if you make a mistake, there's a very friendly lady who says, please make a U-turn. There's nothing like swearing, there's nothing, you've done something wrong, you stupid. No, it's a friendly lady. Well, it depends on your settings, of course. But then who's telling you, please make a U-turn. That's also a way of going. But you more or less actually surrender yourself to that lady, because that lady is telling you, now you've got to turn left, now you've got to turn right. You're not making decisions anymore. Yes, you can still decide to go left if she says you've got to go right, but then she will tell you you've got to make a U-turn. And if we take now those two, on the one side that we've got decisions what we are allowed to make and what we can make in our lives and where we actually used to and what is standard in this world. We've got so many books which have been written about it, what you've got to do for your career management and development and so on and so on. And on the other side where we've got the GPS where you actually surrender, where you say, okay, take me to the place, I don't know how to get there. And that instrument is taking you where you've got to be. Now, if we take those two things off, you make a decision and you surrender, and we put it together, and then we have a look and say, okay, how are we actually walking with God? How is our spiritual walk with God? Is there something similar, or is it totally different? And we can see there are some similar things in it. That on the one side, yes, we can make decisions. That's what we make in our careers. We can decide if we want to come on a Sunday to the church, if we want to do something else, if we want to read Bible, if we want to sing a song. That's a decision what we can make ourselves. So that is correlating with what we've got in the career. But then we also have got it in it that we can, that God is asking that we should totally surrender. As what we, maybe a little bit different way of saying it, we are surrendering ourselves to that lady on the GPS and the TomTom and the Google Maps. But we totally surrender ourselves to God and say, God, I don't know where to go. I don't know where you want to use me. I don't know what you want to do with me. Here I am. Use me. So those things, we can see it in our lives. The word we use in the Christian terminology for that road walking with God, we call it sanctification. Now you can try and say, okay, let's try to translate it in a little bit of a word which is for us maybe easier to understand. Then we say it is a process of becoming holy. So you can also say it's a holification, if we can call it something like that. But what is happening there with the sanctification is that you progressively are becoming more like Jesus. So you're gradually becoming like Jesus and you're becoming more holy. But it's something which is happening over time. It is not once you get saved that suddenly you are on 100%. And you will never get at 100%. It's a continuous process. It's carrying on till the day you die, or Jesus is coming back, whichever of the two comes first. But that is continuously going on, that sanctification process. And like I said, it starts the day when you started your relationship, when the Holy Spirit starting to speak to you. And there I just want to stop a little bit, because Renee mentioned just now as well with the intercession that we sometimes say, but the Holy Spirit is not speaking to me. Because God is speaking through the Holy Spirit to us. And we say, but God is not speaking to me. Now, if you are saved, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, the day that you took that decision, it was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It was the Holy Spirit telling you, you've got to make the decision today now. It's important so that we can try and start again from there and say, Lord, you've spoken to me, speak again, that I can hear. Where do you want me to go? What is that process? What is that road what you want me to walk? And in that process of sanctification, we start by hearing God's voice, and then we ask him for the plan of our life. Because all of us would like to know exactly where are we going to. We would like to know where are we next week, next month, next year, 10 years, 20 years. All of us would like to know that. I can guarantee you. And God is telling us he's got a plan. He's got a plan for us. He's not always showing us exactly how long it is going to be that he's giving us a 5 or a 10 year. Psalm 105 is saying it beautiful. He's giving us just enough light for the next step. God is not a spotlight for 5 years. He's just giving you what we need. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13. And I took this one out of the Amplified because it has got a few additional words. For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. This is God speaking, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you hope and your final outcome, to give you a goal, something where you can work to. So this is what God is saying, what he has got for us. But in the next two verses, he's actually saying how we should get it from him. Then he says, then you will call upon me, and I will come, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity. Vital necessity. We cannot live without it. We've got to have that input from God. Or what does he want us to do? Where is he taking us? Which road are we walking along with him? And find me when you search for me with all of your heart. This is what God is saying there. He's got a plan for us. He's got thoughts about us. And that's beautiful, because we're always very good in making our own plans. I myself was typically an example of that. One of my, let's call it, strong points was that I could build a type of a strategy. And then when the Lord said, a little bit more than 5 years back, we've got to come and start a church over here, I had to take that whole strategy thing, I had to tear it up into pieces, and I had to throw it in a dustbin. And each and every time something had to be done, I couldn't use my head. I had to go on my knees and say, Lord, what is it? Or we pray together. What is it what you want us to do? So it's not my own decision, but it's God's will and God's plan, what we try to do. Because it doesn't help if we go to go our own way. Proverbs 14 verses 12 is quite direct in there. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man. Okay, to a woman as well. Okay, it's not only the man, it's a woman as well. There's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but its end is the way of death. If we've got a plan, and if we've got a certain way, and that way now is that road what we're walking, and we say, okay, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do that, then it's just about us, and we haven't got God with his plan as part of our road, death is where we're going to. And God is giving us eternal life if we're going to walk his road. And if we're going to walk, we're going to walk with God. Now, if me and my wife, it's more or less each and every second day that we've got the opportunity that we can go for a walk, we've got to agree beforehand where we're going to walk. Because if we do not agree, then the one is going north and the other one is going south, then we're not walking together. And that's exactly what Amos is also saying over here. Do two walk together, except they make an appointment and have agreed. And we've got to do the same with God. If we want to walk with God, we've got to communicate with God. We've got to find out where exactly he wants us that we should go to, and that we can walk the road what he wants us to. Renee mentioned it just now as well with the announcements that we had Encounter 3 yesterday. And Encounter 3 is just a little bit of a part of that road where we're walking, of that sanctification process where we're busy with God. You can call it a pit stop, you can call it whatever you want to mention it. But it was about legacy, inheritance. What is God giving to us? And it was so beautiful yesterday when we started in the beginning of the course already, it was mentioned that God is giving to us. He's giving it to us as an inheritance. It's identity and destiny. Now, if there's one thing where the world is battling with at the moment, then it is with identity. And I say that, and please do not quote me, but all the tattoo shops, they are just shops selling identity. And the people still haven't got identity. They can put on weird clothes, they can change the color of their hair and so on to get some attention on them and get some identity. But the true identity, this is what we're getting from God. If he's speaking to you and if he's telling you who you are and where you're going to. And the destiny is about where are we going to? What is our purpose? Where are we going to? At a certain time, there was one guy who wrote a book, Purpose of Life. There were so many copies sold over there because the people were eagerly looking for that. What is my purpose? What is actually what God wants me that I should get in this world? The goal where we're going to is that we want to be in heaven with God. John 3:16, that we are going to spend time with God. And then the purpose on earth, in that period what we're here, what are we actually supposed to do? What is our purpose? And we are here to glorify his name. We are here for his glory. Isaiah 43 says, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I've created for my glory. I formed him, yes, I made him. I have created for my glory. We have been created for God's glory. We have been created to glorify God here on this earth. And if we take a look at all the people on this earth which are created by God, which are an image, if we go back to Genesis where it says that we are made to the image of God, then they are there to glorify God. But then we sometimes get tears in our eyes. How they can speak about the Maker, how they can speak about the Creator, how they can speak about God, because they do not know him, they do not understand him, they do not have got a relationship with him. Because God says over there, I have created, I formed him, I've made him. God is responsible for us. And if we take the Bible, this is a summary of what he wants to that we should do in life. And if we are battling with our life and we say, but I'm not quite sure of what we're, I'm asking you, have you read the Bible? Have you spent time with God? What is God saying to you in your life? Because God is the one, through the sanctification process, who is giving us direction and who is giving us identity. God's plan for our walk with him, we're all going to do the same. No. I'm not going to sing like Derek. And there are other things, and that's beautiful of God. God made us each and every one different because he wants to use us, but that we also can help each other. Because if all of us were exactly the same, it could have been very boring. All of them would have been married to my wife. Very boring. Not to be married with her, but I mean... Okay, now I'm on thin ice now. But what I'm trying to say, that God is making us different, that we can help each other, that we can support each other, that we can see the different talents which God puts in the different persons, and that they can be used for building a church, for building a family, for building a community, for building a country. But we've got to ask God for our plan. What is the plan what he has got? Because it's not exactly the same, like I said. If we take Saul, he had a type of a, what we call a Damascus conversion. He was on the road, God spoke to him, and instead of trying to kill the Christians, he started to get the Christians together. In my life again, for 50 years, I had knowledge of God, but it first had to get down to my heart before I really knew about God and that I could have a heart-to-heart relationship with God. And it's different. And each and every one has got a different testimony. And that's so beautiful always if you are speaking to a person that you can ask them, what is your testimony? How did you get started your relationship? How did you start your sanctification process with God? How does it started actually? And it is different. But in that sanctification process, we find that all of us have got the same, I nearly want to call it ingredients, the same things which are in there, which all of us have got to do. We've got to read the Bible. If we want to be on that sanctification process, and if we're not reading the Bible, please go back to start. I don't know which game it is, but then you've got to start again. Start reading again. Start reading what God has instructed to be written down. We've got to pray. We've got to go into our inner room. We've got to communicate with God. We've got to tell him what he knows already, but we also have got to hear from him. What is it? And we can bring things which are in our lives. We can bring it to God, and that he can give us direction concerning that. Also time with fellow believers as what we are together over here. But it could be in a small group. It could be also a social function. It could be at another place. But that where you're together as believers and where you're enjoying it, that you are together. And also that you're living it out. If your neighbor is going to find out that you're a Christian after they've stayed 5 years next to you, yeah, that's maybe not so good. Then you haven't lived it out. You haven't told him. You haven't asked him. You haven't spoken to him about it. And it is something what God is asking, that we should live it out as well. So it doesn't matter what type of road of sanctification we are walking. That's all part of it that should be in it. And the walk with Jesus, with the walk with God can differ. Like I said in the beginning, that is the process, the road. But the way that we enter, there's only one way. And that's Jesus. And that is something which cannot be negotiated. Jesus was talking to his disciples at the end of his period on earth. And then he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And then Thomas, he's got a question. Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Now he has been with Jesus for 3 years. He has been hearing it, I nearly would say, day and night, and he's still having those questions. So if you've got questions, still don't feel alone. Thomas was battling as well after he spent day and night with Jesus. "Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? How do we know the way to get to the place where you are going?" And then Jesus says to him, I am the way. This is one of the seven I ams which we can read in John. I am the way. There's only one way. There's only one access. There's only one way how we can get into heaven. That's through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except to me. It's not negotiable. There's nothing else. Other things can differ of how and what we're doing through life. But if we're coming to that, it cannot be negotiated. On a Thursday evening with the evangelizing, we hear quite often, if we ask that question, we say, Lord, guy, of a sir, do you think you're going to heaven? And he says, yeah, he thinks he's going to heaven. And we ask him then, but do you think God is allowing you into heaven then? And he says, well, I've done good works. I'm looking after my mother. I'm sending some money to South America. I'm doing this, or I'm doing that, and I'm doing that. Based on their own works, they think that they can get access to heaven. But Jesus is very straightforward over here. He is the way. And then, depending on the conversation, then sometimes I will ask the question, I said, okay, if you say that it is good works which is going to bring you in heaven, was it then really necessary for Jesus to die on the cross? And yeah, then they become quiet and they are not quite sure what is actually, but then they understand Jesus died on the cross. He's the only way, and through him we can get access to heaven. Also very interesting that the early church was called the way. It's quite a few different places in the Bible that we can read it. And the one which I took is a verse out of Acts 9 verses 1 and 2, where the church it's mentioned is called the way. Again, they are on the way, but that's only also the only way. Jesus, the two of them combined. Then Saul, he wasn't Paul yet, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from the high priest to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, and that is then with a capital, if they were of those people who were going the way, the right way, they were walking the right way of sanctification, and they knew that Jesus was the only way. That's where they were called the way. Whether man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And we are the way. We are the way in that way that we've got the identity. We know who we are. And we also have got a destiny, because we know where we're going to. And we're going to heaven if we accept Jesus Christ. And Jesus in John later on, he also confirms it again, where he says, I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. We cannot go and try to get in through a side door or a back door or anything like that. There's only one way, and that is Jesus. We've got to ask us sometimes an important question, and I think we've got to ask it ourselves, but also as a church, and then in our personal capacity, am I on the way? Am I on the correct way? And as a church as well, are we on the correct way? Are we doing what God is asking us to do? Because it's so easy if things are moving that you just carry on and carry on and carry on and carry on. And I nearly want to say, thank God we had this coronavirus, because we had to stand still again and think about it. But where are we actually busy with? And for whom is it important? For whom is God important? Who is prepared to go to his inner room and spend time with God? Who is it prepared to hear and get God's input for their life? We know who we are. That's our identity, and we know where we are going to. That's our destiny. And we are a child of God, and we're going to heaven. And we've got a hope where we are living for. And that is a hope which we also should be able to see in our faces. We had a month or two ago, we spoke to somebody in town. He's been on the streets, I think it was 10 or was it 20 years, something like that. And he said, I've lost my hope. He didn't have any hope anymore. And then I thought, how is it possible that the person hasn't got any hope anymore? Because as a Christian, we have got hope, the promises of God, that we are going to be in heaven forever and ever. That is the hope what we've got. This is what's giving us life. This is what's letting us stand up in the morning and sing songs and worship God. Our life is full of decisions what we've got to make. The career, to whom are we going to get married? How many children are we going to have? Which country are we going to stay? Because I think that's quite applicable over here. And all those type of questions. But the most important question what we've got to ask ourselves, which way do we want to walk? And there's only one way what we can walk, and it is with God, and where Jesus is our Savior. And then the enemy, yes, he's trying to distract us. He will tell us, no, don't go to church, go and watch this movie, or accept the invitation of that other friend to watch a game, or do this or do that. There's enough distraction going on. But then we've got to make the decision and say, what's more important for me is my relationship with God. What's more important for me is my sanctification walk, which I'm walking with God. That's more important for me. And I want to finish off with the last scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16, and I took it out of the Amplified. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted and wearied out of fear. Though the other outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day. And this is what God wants to be busy with. He wants to renew us continuously on the inside. On the outside, we're getting older. I can testify about that. I think I'm a living example of it. But God wants to renew us on the inside. It's for us that we say, Lord, renew us. And I'm going to ask a question that I'm going to leave today's sermon with. And it's not to condemn, but I think it's just a little bit of a pit stop that we can make and say, okay, let's check everything. The tires, the engine oil, the fuel, whatever is necessary, because that we know in normal life. But the question is, where are you in that sanctification process? Are you busy with that sanctification process? In the beginning, when we got saved, we get baptized. Sandra is getting baptized this afternoon. We get discipleship, what we've got, and then you start. We've got the encounters in the church where we want to disciple the people that is part of that sanctification process. We've got a Bible school as well, the registration will open most probably within a week or two. Those are all things which are helping us in the sanctification process. And it's not something that I can say, okay, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and I can sit on a chair and wait for His second coming. I may be putting it a little bit rude. No, that's not the way. We are continuously busy with our relationship with God. It's critical. I'm repeating that question again. Where are you in the sanctification process? You don't have to answer me. But the next time when you're in your inner room and you speak to God, ask Him and communicate with Him. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.